body. Child needs that, okay? And how important it is. And Bethany, Rachel will need that, huh?
Yeah, right.
And so it's great to have that little one here. I sent Sam a text and I said, now you've got what traditionally is called the millionaire's family. You know, a boy and a girl. Now I said, I don't know when the million comes. but
yeah,
what's that?
That's in the bills.
That's in the bills, okay. Yeah, it's usually thought of a million coming, not going. But anyway, nourishment and exercise. And I talked a good bit about nourishment and exercise and how we need to have nourishment in order to grow, and how we need exercise to develop that growing. Now tonight I am going to look at another area of hindrance to Christian growth. Lack of nourishment, which comes with Bible reading, Bible study, okay? The milk of the word, the meat of the word. The exercise is being a servant, serving God, doing things in the local church. And tonight, I'm going to look at another hindrance. Now, listen. Listen to the whole thing. Don't jump to conclusions. Okay? And as I get into this, you'll understand why I'm making that statement. What I'm going to talk about is religious gluttony. Religious gluttony. Now, key word there is religious. Okay? Don't forget that word. I'm not talking about spiritual gluttony. Okay? I'm talking about religious gluttony. But those two can many times be confused and in people's minds can overlap. And this cause for stunted growth can be experienced by dedicated, sincere believers. Okay, so this is not just for new Christians. This is not just for backslidden Christians. This can be experienced by dedicated Christians. And just as there is undernourishment and a lack of activity in service as a problem, so sometimes by some people, they can tend to go overboard and they lose their stability. They lose their balance by doing too much. Okay? Doing too much. too much reading of religious literature. Okay? Too much activity in the local church. Now you understand why I said, listen to the whole thing, don't jump to conclusions. But too much reading of religious literature. There needs to be a balance. There is other good subjects to read, according to what a person likes. Might be history, okay? I love the kind of reading our pastor does. And then that enters into his message, especially when it's on history, because I love history. Okay? And so, but there's other reading you can do besides religious reading. Did you hear what I said? Religious reading.
Right.
I didn't talk about Bible reading. I talked about religious reading. It can be in magazines, can be books, doesn't matter what it is. Thank you. And so too much reading of religious literature, too much activity in the local church. I'm just letting you think about that.
Come on.
Too much activity in the local church. You know, your wife might like some of your time. Your wife might like you to do something with her sometimes. You know, your children might like to do something other than go to church?
Mom.
Now listen, did I say there's something wrong with going to church? No, I didn't. But I am saying if you get out of balance and all you do is go to church, it can affect you negatively. Does your son like to fish? Does your daughter like to shop? Dad, mom, both of you, why not take your daughter shopping? You say, well, I've got things I got to do at church. Mm-hmm. Understand that. And why are you doing them? Why are you doing them? Religious activity. A lot, through the years, I have seen a lot of people that every time something's going on, they're there. Now, there's nothing wrong with them being there, but I'm asking you this question, why? Why are you there? Your dedication to Jesus Christ is not determined by how often you go to church. How often you go to church ought to be determined by your dedication to Christ. So I called it religious gluttony. You know, eating's a good thing. I mean, I like healthy food. I like tomatoes. I like mushrooms. I like pizza. Okay, you got it? Okay. I really debated on whether I should go here tonight. But I have known children that all they knew from their father was going to church. It's all they knew. Now, Dad would have really strengthened his dedication to going to church if he'd have taken, in the case of sons, fishing, or when they're old enough, hunting. Or if Dad was capable with mechanics, okay? If Dad would have showed the boy how to change spark plugs. Do they call them spark plugs anymore? Yes. I don't think so. Do they? Depends on how old the car is. And so, but you understand what I'm saying? Put some balance to your life. Too much personal work beyond the local church. Yeah, my dad, he passes out tracts. Every time we go somewhere, Dad's got a pocket full of tracts and he passes them out everywhere. Mom and the kids, they're going through the mall. But not Dad. He's got religious gluttony. So he stands at the entrance to the mall and he passes out tracts. The rest of the family's off doing their thing. Nothing wrong with passing out tracts. It's a good thing to do. But it's also a good thing to do to spend time with the family. Over and over and over again, spend time with the family. Now, we know our pastor, you know, he says that always, you know, at church. He went to church all the time. Goes to church all the time. And I was concerned that maybe somebody would misunderstand what I'm dealing with the message that he preaches about faithfulness to going to church. But I also know that the family loves to play games, table games. My wife would love being in the family, okay? She loves to play games, but not old Grump. He doesn't play games. You young families, take note to that. Our children grew up with their mother playing games, not their father. I had a problem with religious gluttony. So I know what I'm talking about by sad experience. You can avoid it if you're young enough, if you have a young family, or when you do get married. It's important. Too much following after the organizations of men. Don't follow after men. Now, I think it's great to have favorite preachers. I can tell you some of my favorite preachers. There's nothing wrong with having favorite preachers, but if you're following the favorite preacher, okay? Such and such a church, they're having special meetings. I don't know this evangelist they're having, so I don't go. But when I know the evangelist, then I'll go. Okay? Make sure that you're not committing religious gluttony. It's important that we recognize that each person has a different capacity for receiving and for giving out. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. Same parable, just depends on how you want to title it. Now look at verse 8. Matthew 13, verse 8, where it says, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then the explanation of this begins in verse 18, but I want you to look at verse 23, okay? Matthew 13 and verse 23. "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30." Different capacities. Some people are capable of reading 4 books, okay, in a week. Some are capable of reading, maybe not the week frame, but they were able to keep 4 books going at the same time and comprehend them. My, that's wonderful. But some people are just 1 or 2 book readers. As a matter of fact, whether it's 1 or 2 books, the main thing is to be able to keep reading. Okay? Because if you're sitting in a comfortable chair, which a person frequently would do when they start reading, it isn't too long until what happens? Yeah. You fall asleep. Okay? Some people are 1 or 2 book readers, some are 4 book readers, and I've just pulled numbers out, you know. You can put any number you want to, in other words, different capacities. Now let's come into the church. Some people are 4 or 5 job church people, okay? 4 or 5 job persons. That means they can effectively handle 4 or 5 jobs. Now, remember, not every church job happens weekly. Some things happen monthly, all right? And so you have to understand that when I'm talking four or five jobs. But some people can effectively handle four or five jobs. They can do them right. They can benefit from it as well as the people that they're serving in doing it. Some people are just capable of doing that. But some people are just two job persons. And to take more than two jobs, they're not going to enjoy it. It's going to tax them. They'll be grumpy, okay? And it won't get done properly because they're just a two-job person. And so if they try to do four jobs, it just isn't going to go well for the task they're doing, for the people they're supposed to be serving, as well as for themselves. And so we need to recognize that each person has a different capacity for receiving and also for giving out. So you see, when I talk about religious gluttony now, that idea of religious gluttony can come into play if a person doesn't do their service, that's the exercise part of nourishment, okay? They don't do their service according to their ability. And because they see others and what others are doing, listen, you don't do what others do, you do what God leads you to do. And God is not going to lead you to take on four or five jobs if you're only a two-job person. And there's nothing wrong with only being a two-job person. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of God is going to be able to bless you and the people you're serving if you'll just keep yourself at the level where you need to be. Rather than comparing.
Right.
Now, there's a scripture. Comparing ourselves,
right.
You know, comparing ourselves with another. You shouldn't do that. You say, well, I feel like a slacker. Why? Are you in fellowship with the Lord? Are you in agreement with His work in your life? Now, if you recall, this condition of religious gluttony, so we're not talking about taking on jobs that the Holy Spirit leads in. Rather, we're talking about taking on jobs and work in the church done out of self to impress others. Now, not everybody who takes on more than they ought to is doing it to impress others. Some do it because they just like to feel important. And I'm more important. People need me. Or it may be a martyr complex. Oh, I've got so much to do. How in the world am I going to get it all done? But praise the Lord, I love serving Jesus. Providing a person is yielded, sincere, and available, not looking for excuses, some Christians, now let me go back and repeat this, providing a person is yielded, sincere, and available, and not looking for excuses, some Christians must learn to say no. Some are too willing. And you say, well, it just doesn't seem right to say no. We say no to our husbands, our wives. We can say no to our children, but we can't say no when it comes to being asked to do something in the church. Learning to say no is not easy. I'm just giving you some time to think. Are you somebody that struggles with that? Well, welcome to my club. There was a time, years past, many years past, but there was a time that my wife said, "You seem to find time and have time for everybody else. Oh, but I'm the pastor. Oh, but people need me." Now, I didn't say that to her, because I knew if I would have said that, she'd have said, "Don't you think I need you?" She'd have said, "Don't you think your children need you?" Now listen, that's not only true for pastors, that's true for people in the pew. Your family needs you. Well, who's going to do it at church? I don't know, God will figure that out. Perhaps somebody's thinking, "Wow, Pastor, by the time you're done with this message, we're not going to have any workers left in the church." God will have to figure that out. But if somebody were to give up a job because one of these things that I'm saying is so, now realize you're not going to give it up immediately. After the service tonight, you're not going to go up to the pastor and say, "Hey, I need to stop doing this and such." No, you'll wait for a few weeks so it, you know, it can't be applied directly to this. Yeah, some of you know where I'm coming from. You understand, isn't it sad when you think the same way that I think? But the fact of the matter is, if somebody's doing something for one of the reasons I've spoken of, and it's religious gluttony, they will be better to resign from it. They personally. And then depending on what's taking place in their life or in their family, it'll be better for their family. And listen to me, it'll be better for the church. Because the Spirit of God will not work through a wrongly motivated person. They may appear like a hero, but it's not going to be able to have the blessing and the power of God on it. The degree of submission to Christ is not determined by the amount a person does. I'm going to repeat that. The degree of your submission to Christ is not determined by the amount of work that you do in the church. The amount of work that you do in the church should be determined by your submission to Christ. Same words, but in the wrong order. It's not beneficial. Self-righteousness, again, causes problems. Now, please, I've got orange highlighting here, so I'm sure to emphasize it. I am not inferring that people who do a lot are self-righteous. I'm not inferring that. Some people are 4 and 5 job people. Some people are only a one or two job person. That doesn't mean they're slackers. The people that have a difficulty with religious gluttony, in the nature of which I'm speaking tonight, they like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Okay? I can do all things. No, you can't. You can't. But who'll do it? I don't know. It's God's church. He'll take care of that. You think he's able to take care of that? I mean, he took care of it before you came along. He took care of it before I came along. You want to live with regrets? Just ignore this kind of thing that I'm telling you. You have heard me acknowledge on more than one area where I failed. Oh, my life in general was and is a success. In general. But in specifics, too frequently, it did stink. Oh, it wouldn't have looked that way from the outside. I've never had a deacon come up to me and say, "Pastor, do you think maybe you're doing too much?" I never had somebody in the church come up to me and say, I think you're overloaded, Pastor. Maybe you ought to cut back a little. Maybe somebody else could do some of the things you're doing." No. Just give it to the preacher. After all, that's what we pay him for. Normally, Christians have trouble with inaction. But some have trouble with overaction, or this matter of religious gluttony. Father in heaven, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, my desire is that through some of the thoughts that were shared tonight, some of my own bad experiences in life, somebody else, Father, sitting here listening to this, may learn so that they won't have regrets. Because surely, Father, when it was unfolding in my own life, I didn't see it. My intentions, Lord, were different. So for us, Father, I pray, use this in whatever way possible, in Jesus' name.